Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Great. Thanks so much, team. The worship and the sound and everybody involved behind the scenes. Really appreciate you guys. Is everybody ready for the new year? Okay, there's three of you ready. Wonderful. I trust everybody's had a good time with family and hopefully some rest. Although those two don't always go together. Just kidding, but it was hopefully you've had some good time with family and friends and I know there's still a couple of families away and on their way back. But what a blessing. We've got some family visiting us from the US. So great to see you guys. And we've got a new Mr. and Mrs. that are here on this side. Whoop whoop. I say, Tito's already picking up weight from the good life, eh? No, just kidding. We'll just blame it on the holiday. The burden of holiday food, eh? But what a blessing to be here. We've been busy with a bunch of DIY projects at home, and must admit, there's such a blessing when your children to get to that age. Huh? Mark knows what I'm talking about, where they can help significantly. You know, eh? What a blessing. So some areas, the skills need to still be brushed up, but the willingness is there. It's such a blessing. So yeah, the kids have been helping us with some of those projects. And Emily was counting our list on the fridge the other day, and when she gave us the result, you know, the how far we are, it wasn't very encouraging, but we're getting there. I think we are over halfway. But anyway, so what a blessing to be here this morning and to share the word. We've got into a new year now, guys. 2024 is past, so for the next month, we're all going to write the dates wrong, but we'll get there. And maybe you're excited for the new year, maybe you're expectant, maybe you're a little bit apprehensive, but one thing is sure, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can be full of expectation because of His goodness, amen, and His faithfulness toward us. I want to take us to a great victory that was recorded in Scripture in the Old Testament. And I want us to look at a little bit around what happened to bring that victory about. And let's trust the Lord for the same for us for this year. Let's read from 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read quite a bit, but we're just going to look at this account. And this is King Jehoshaphat. Okay. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, so there's a lot of ites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Good response, right? Some massive multitude coming against them. And he set his face to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Joseph had stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, Are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, verse 10, now behold the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of, you can read the rest, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. So now they've been seeking God, and now the Lord answers. Do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Amen. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire, as they went before the army, and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. And then it goes on, the Lord gave them a great victory, and then the Lord said that they could take all the stuff that was left behind, all the spoils. I think it took 3 days for them to collect everything. Massive victory that was won. And I want to look a little bit around what happened here. Firstly, they faced this massive opposition, right? And they, his words were, we are powerless against this great horde. So they came in a place of humility saying, Lord, you know what? On our own, we are not able to win this great battle. We are not able to overcome this enemy that's coming against us. But I want to take us back a little bit, a couple of chapters, because it's interesting in life how, I believe we know about the enemy, right? There's an enemy of our soul. We know about the devil that's coming at us. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's seeking who he may devour. He's going around and he's our active enemy coming against us. But How often does God actually just contain him completely and keep him from coming at us? And I want to take us a couple of chapters back to chapter 17, I think it was. Yes. At the beginning of his reign, I just want to read for a little bit here. Joseph had his son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. He placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah. This is the beginning of Jehoshaphat's reign. And in the cities of Ephraim that Asa his father had captured, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the practices of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat. He had great riches and honor. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. And furthermore, he took the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. And then we see this interesting verse here in verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, and they made no war against Jehoshaphat. So we see this king setting his heart on following God. So that was the start of his reign. He decided he was not going to seek the Baals. He was not going to seek anything else. He set his heart to seek God and to walk in the ways of King David. So that was the trajectory he was on. That was already his habit, all right? So that's where it all started. But how powerful is that, that God kept the enemies back and the fear of the Lord came upon those enemies. And before we get to this great battle, I just want to say, guys, there are many battles that God is keeping from us that we don't even know about, that he's keeping the enemy back, that he's containing the enemy, and that we don't even know about the stuff that God is protecting us from. Amen? And it's going to be the same this year, that God is protecting us from so many things around us. He's put a hedge of his protection around us. Amen? But then there are some battles that God allows us to face. There are some enemies that God allows us to face. And in that we can know there is a purpose. You know, these enemies, they weren't kept back. They actually came, and they came right there. They were not afar off. They were right there. And they were ready to take down Israel, to Judah. Can you see this? So when God allows the enemy to actually approach us and to actually for us to face the battle, there's always a purpose there. There's always a purpose that he has for us in the battle, in the fight that he, in the things that come against us, all right? So let's go back and let's look at a couple of things here. Firstly, he calls a fast. Isn't that amazing? When he just decrees the whole nation must fast now. Young and old came to seek the Lord together. How powerful is that? And tomorrow we're going to fast and pray together if we ever can join. And in February we're going to take time out to pray and fast together. We'll give you all the details about that. But what a joy and what a privilege for us as a family, as a community, to choose to seek the face of God together. To say, God, we may have many things lying ahead of us, good and bad, but our eyes are on you and our trust is in you. Amen. So please join us for those prayer and fast opportunities. But can you see how powerful is this posture that they take as a nation? Jehoshaphat, he acknowledges he's afraid, right? But what happens when we are afraid? What happens when fear grips our hearts is that it is so difficult for us to respond in faith and to follow God in faith and to hear the voice of God when we are gripped by fear. Have you experienced that? When fear grips our hearts, and when we get panicky, when we get anxious, it's hard to hear what God is saying. But I love what Joseph does. He recognizes, you know, he has to make a plan now. It's how he calls everybody to pray and everybody to fast. And he leads the effort. And in their prayer and fasting, they are positioning themselves in a place of humility, saying to seek the face of God and to seek his word and what he would say to them. So in that place of prayer, in that place of fasting, what happens? Our faith is strengthened. Amen. So they're right there. The position, you know, the great victory is coming, but they didn't know it at that point, right? But for us to win a victory in the battles that what we face, the way we face them is so crucial. The position we take, the posture we take. So they take one of humility and they seek the face of God. They come in humility saying, Lord, without you, we are powerless. So their position is one of corporate prayer and fasting. And then the second thing that happens, which is really cool, which is part of the process of building your faith, is they, Jehoshaphat starts to remind God of who he is. Now, he's not doing this for God's benefit, all right? He's doing that for his own benefit because God is not forgotten. But he says, God, aren't you the God that did this and this and this and this? So God has not forgotten those things, but Jehoshaphat is reminding himself and he's reminding the people and he's reminding God of his what he's done in the past. And that is such a powerful way that we stir our faith, is to reflect on the goodness and faithfulness of God in the past. Amen. Build those monuments, reflect on his faithfulness, reflect on his goodness. And as we go into this year, if you've not done so the end of last year, take some time and write down and put aside monuments. Think about the year and think, wow, this is what God has done. Look at what God has done. Maybe a monument is a little photo frame on the wall of a moment of victory or a moment of breakthrough, or maybe it's a degree that you put on the wall, frame it or whatever. It's not for others, it's for to remind you that God has won a great victory. Amen. So that process of us encouraging one another, and you know, Anna and I have to do it often to say, but you know what, this is a tough situation, but look at what God has done in the past. Not one time did he forsake us. Not one time did he leave us. Amen. So encouraging one another, that's why it's so important to surround ourselves with people that when we are down, they can say, can remind us, but look what he has done. Isn't this the God that provided there, that helped us there, that healed there, that delivered there, that brought the breakthrough there? Amen. So that's such a powerful part of stirring the faith and stirring up faith. And now they've come in humility. They've sought God's, the face of God. They've prayed. They've fasted. They've reflected on his goodness. Now their faith is stirred. Amen. Now they are in a space where they can hear the voice of God. Isn't that powerful? And the Lord speaks and they hear. Amen. So the word comes through the specific guy. And the Lord answers them. And how amazing is this, that he gives them such clear direction. Such clear instruction. And I want to encourage us at the beginning of this year, put that time aside to wait, not only for a glimpse or not only for a thought. I remember as a young believer, I would pray about something, I would seek God about something, and then it's as if the Lord would just start to answer, half a sentence, and then I'll be running. I think I know what God's going to say, and then I go. Don't wait for the rest. Take time for that clear instruction. Sometimes it doesn't come all at once. I mean, sometimes it comes in bits and pieces. Often it comes like that. Sometimes the answer of the Lord comes through Scripture, through people. It's not always all at once. It comes through different parts. Maybe somebody at small group, maybe a Scripture, maybe different bits, and when you put it together, you realize God has given you very clear instruction. Amen? So God gives him clear instruction and he gives him very clear direction about what exactly to do. So they have stirred up their faith, they have approached with humility and prayer and fasting, and they hear the voice of God, and now comes the crisis of faith. All right? What is that moment? The crisis of faith is when you've heard the voice of God, you've received the instruction. In this case, sounds a bit dodgy, to be honest. Coming from a, you know, when I was in the military, doing officers course, that we talked about military strategy and battle strategy, stuff like that. This is wasn't there in the book. Okay, this kind of strategy wasn't part of the training. This, in terms of military strategy, this is not a good strategy. Amen. To stand and to watch normally doesn't work out well. So now the crisis is you've heard from God. In human terms, the strategy does not sound good. So now we have a decision to make. Are we going to respond in faith? Or are we going to respond in fear? Are we going to take heed and take the instruction that God has given us? Or are we going to respond in human terms? Now, in fear, I would say the response would have been, okay, this sounds interesting. Let's just put the best warriors in the front in any case, just in case. Let's just put the Marines or the Iraqis or whoever they are, the best guys. Let's just put them right there in the front and make sure, you know, if something goes pear-shaped, then at least we have a chance to run away or something. That might have been a fearful response. Are you with me? A kind of, yo, I don't know if this is going to work out. But look at how powerful is their response in terms of faith. Joseph had, and this is interesting here, he says he had taken counsel with the people, so he did not make this decision on his own. Okay? Again, the wise man, getting counsel from people around him. When you're making decisions like this, when you're hearing from God, get counsel from wise, godly, God-hearing and God-fearing people around you. Amen? And then he says, listen guys, if we're really going to be obedient to what God is saying, and if he's going to be true to his word like he is, like he will be, this is the way we're going to do this. We're going to put the band in front. We're going to put the soldiers at the back. But can you see this is a faithful response because he's not planning to fight. Amen. So I want to challenge us. I'm challenging myself. Do not follow God with a plan B in the back of your mind. I know I'm challenging myself here as well. Do not obey God with a, if things go wrong, I'm going to try this and this and this. Let's, you know, they always talk about when you're investing and when you're planning and when you're doing financial investments, not to put all your eggs in one basket. That's good. That's wise advice. But when it comes to faith, put all your eggs in one basket. Amen. Put all your trust in Him. And know that He's faithful. So they put all their eggs in one basket. They say, okay, we're going to do this in a way that if God doesn't show up, we are tickets. This is the end. Because we put the musicians in the front. No offense to the musicians. Okay? There's no weapon inside. There's just instruments in the front. So they're putting all their trust in Him. And they're obeying in a way that positions them to see a great victory. Because there's no way that they can win that victory. Can you see that? But there is only, the only chance is for God to win a great victory. So they respond in faith. And then they respond in worship. They send in praise. Oh, even before they respond by putting the band in the front, the response when the Lord has spoken is praise and worship and thanksgiving and gratitude because God has answered them. Amen? I want to encourage us, and this is actually, I've gotten ahead of myself, just take one step back. Before they moved in obedience, before they were already giving thanks. Can you see that? They were already praising God for the victory and for His word and for His promise even before it came to pass. Amen? So I want to encourage us at the beginning of this year, take time out. Before the service, one of the words we got received in prayer was that, that Elizabeth got, was that there's some of us here that are doing the Martha thing. We are running around, getting stuff ready for the year. We're really jumping into the year full pace. And we haven't taken time to sit at the feet of Jesus like his sister Mary did. I believe that's part of the invitation this morning, is to say, take time. Take time to sit at his feet. Take time in fasting and prayer. Take time to hear. And it doesn't have to be a one-off, amen? When you're facing major decisions or small decisions or big decisions, but take time this year to sit at his feet, to hear his voice clearly, to receive clear instruction from him, and to take a posture of humility, a posture of prayer, but also that posture of praise and thanksgiving even before the breakthrough has come, even before the victory has come, to take that place of a position of praise and thanksgiving and worship. That gratitude in our hearts is such a powerful thing. It shapes us. It shapes our lives. It shapes the way we follow him, because it takes us out of fear. It takes us out of heaviness. It brings us, like that word earlier, that takes us away from heaviness, and it takes us to a place of praise and thanksgiving. So at the beginning of this year, I want to encourage us. Maybe you've had a difficult year last year. Maybe you're a little bit apprehensive about this year, but no. Make a decision. Choose to take a posture of praise and a posture of thanksgiving for what he is in store for us this year. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to take communion together. If somebody can help us to hand out the communion, I think it might be there at the back. Thanks so much. Thanks, guys. And I want us to actually, let's do communion in little groups, maybe groups of four or five. Or if you're sitting with your family, maybe with your family. If you prefer to sit on your own, that's also fine. But I'd like us just to take a moment, maybe little small groups, to just consecrate the year to the Lord. To say, you know, to come and commit ourselves and commit the year to the Lord, yes, but to commit ourselves to God. Say, Lord, this year, I want to take a position. I want to take a posture right here in the beginning of humility, of prayer, of thanksgiving. And I want to take a moment to give you thanks for this year already, because I know that you are faithful. I mean, so maybe as we're waiting for the communion, maybe start to, you can move around. I know it sounds crazy, but you can move the chairs as well. But make little groups, three or four, and then we're going to pray for a moment for the communion. It's on its way. As we wait for the communion, I want us to actually read one final scripture together. Now I've already distracted you, so let's... as we're handing out the communion, you're welcome to have a look at the screen just for a moment. Psalm 34, verse 19 in the Amplified says, "Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all." Hallelujah. Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all. And then verse 22 in the NLT, "But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." And that's a promise for this year, that we can know, yes, there may be hard things coming across us. There may be good times and bad times and difficulties and hardships and perplexing circumstances, but God is faithful. And He will rescue us from them all. Amen? So, I want us, as we take time now, if you are comfortable to share something maybe that you are trusting for, that you need prayer for this year, please do so. But I want to encourage us each to just take a moment to, even if you want to sit on your own, that's also good. Just take a moment to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, to commit our hearts to the Lord, to commit our lives to Him. Actually, before we do that, I want us to just pray together just for a moment. Thanks. Before we pray in our groups. Let's just wait for the communion just for a moment. Great. Is everybody covered? Did we miss anybody? Over here. What do we need? Okay. Some more juice, thanks. And then we'll check the mother's room in a moment. Thank you. Is everybody covered? Good stuff. Okay, over there. Thank you. Just take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, and we thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that, yes, God, 2025, we don't know what it holds for us, but we know that you are good. And we want to declare as a family, as a church family this morning, we declare, Lord, that without you, Lord, we are powerless going into this year. But, Lord, we declare that our trust is in you. Our eyes are on you, Lord. And right now, as we come in thanksgiving and praise, Lord, at the forefront of our minds, Lord, is the reality that through the cross of Christ, you have made a way for us to know you, God. You have made a way for us to be able to run with expectation and excitement and faith and joy into this year because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way for us to know you intimately. You made a way for us to have a relationship with you, God. That we do not have to be on our own, that we can know, have a Father. That we do not have to be bound by sin and death anymore, Lord, that we can have life. So right now, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, we thank you for the cross, and we thank you for your faithfulness. And as we just bow our heads this morning, if there's anybody here this morning that is not sure, if you're not sure of your salvation this morning, if you're not right with God, right now you know you are not right with Him. You know you are far from Him. Maybe you've had relationship with Him in the past, but right now you are not sure that you have a relationship with Him. You are not sure that you have eternal life. And if you want to respond to His love this morning, if you want to take a step of faith by laying down your life, by repenting of your sin and by turning around and turning from your sin, turning from your old life and choosing to follow Him, if that's what you want to do this morning, it would be my absolute joy and privilege to pray with you. So while eyes are closed this morning and my heads are bowed, if there's anybody that wants to take that step of faith this morning, to choose to follow Him, would you just slip up your hand for a moment, just where you are? I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? Thanks so much. Okay, you can lower those hands. I think let's just pray together. As we just commit our hearts to the Lord, you can lower your hands for a moment. We're just going to commit our hearts to the Lord just before we pray in groups, before we have communion. If you can just pray after me, you just take a moment to commit our hearts to Him. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are my Father and that you love me so much, that you gave your Son in my place, I repent today of my sin. And I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you have made that I may have life, Lord. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, my Lord and my Savior, and that you've raised him from the dead. Thank you, Lord, that I can be absolutely sure that from this moment that I have eternal life because I've put my trust in you. I thank you that as I ask for forgiveness and as I put my trust in Jesus, that you wash my sins away, that you make all things new. I thank you, God, that you are my Father, that I can hear your voice, and that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Let my life, Lord, be for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray in the groups now, but if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've committed your life this morning, I want to invite you to please join me here in the front at the end. I'd love to pray with you. And as we're going to pray together now, if you feel comfortable to share some prayer needs, please do that. Otherwise, I'll also be in the front here if you have any other prayer needs. We'd love to pray with you. Amen. So please take some time to pray and then also take some time to have communion in the groups together. And let's take a moment to consecrate the year to the Lord. Amen. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.